2 Samuel this morning, chapter 5, 2 Samuel chapter 5 this morning. Last week we looked at the death of Ish-bosheth and what God is trying to show us with the death of Ish-bosheth. Now, Saul's last remaining relative was Mephibosheth, and we had a little insert about what happened to him, and now the kingdom is going to be united under King David after 7 years of division and split with each other. In chapter 5, we're going to see the reuniting of the kingdom that God had given him. David was 30 years old, folks. He's a young man, been through a lot for a 30-year-old man. And we missed that a whole lot in our study of the Word of God. Going through the Word of God, there's so many great lessons. There's one of the greatest lessons taught in the Word of God in this chapter. And I know I won't get it all out today, but I want to try to set a stage for you to try to show you. The devil gets a hold of people. And since I've been saved and since I've been preaching, I've always had a burden for people. They get saved, and it seems like around this area especially, it's just, well, let's just pray and take it to the Lord. It's just all, there's no biblical instruction for people. And things get a hold of people's minds, and things get a hold of people's hearts, and they struggle out here. And the world sees it, and they say, well, there ain't nothing to that, because they struggle so much. But God didn't save us for that. God saved us that we can have the victory. He didn't save us to walk around here defeated all the time, under attack by the devil all the time, and are a slave and a servant to our flesh nature. God didn't save us for that. He saved us to have victory and to be lights out here in this world and overcome things that come into our lives. So 2 Samuel chapter 5, the Bible said, "Then came all the tribes of Israel to David unto Hebron and spake, saying, Behold, we are thy bone and thy flesh." Now they're wanting to reunite. "Also then time passed when Saul was king over us. Thou wast he that leddest out and broughtest in Israel. And the Lord said to thee, Thou shalt feed my people Israel, and thou shalt be a captain over Israel. So all the elders of Israel came to the king to Hebron, and King David made a league with them in Hebron before the Lord. And they anointed David king over all, over Israel." Now look here at verse 4. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. 30 years old. So look at up to the time he started. Look at all this stuff that he went through in his life up to 30 years old. And he's shown a lot of maturity. A lot of, God had really dealt with him a whole lot. Now, the Bible says in verse 5, "In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months. And in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And the king and his men went to Jerusalem unto the Jebusites, the inhabitants of the land." The Jebusites are in Jerusalem, "which spake unto David, saying, Except thou take away the blind and the lame, thou shalt not come hither, thinking David cannot come in hither. Nevertheless," verse 7, "David took the stronghold of Zion." The same is the city of David. "And David said on that day, Whosoever getteth up to the gutter and smiteth the Jebusites and the lame and the blind that are hated of David, so he shall be chief and captain. Wherefore they said, The blind and the lame shall not come into the house. So David dwelt in the fort and called it the city of David. David built round about from Milo and inward. And David went on and grew great, and the Lord God of hosts was with him." Back in the book of Joshua, God had gave them the land, and God had told them when they went into the land. So almost 500 years had went by. And God had told Joshua when they invaded the land, in the book of Joshua, run all the inhabitants out of the land. Don't let nobody spare. And so they come to Jerusalem in the book of Joshua. And Jerusalem is the city mentioned more in the Word of God than any other city. Almost as much as Jerusalem is Babylon. It's not as mentioned many times as Jerusalem, but it's mentioned as almost as often as Jerusalem, Babylon. And so when God's people went into the Promised Land, God had told them, run all this out, run all these people out. You know the story. They get to Jerusalem, and these people that were living there were Jebusites. And they didn't put up much resistance. They didn't put up much fight at that time. And so what the men did at that time, instead of doing what God said to do, they put taxes on them, and they said, y'all stay here in this Jerusalem, and we're just going to tax you. So you just pay taxes, and we won't come in here and kill you and run you off. That's not what God said to do. God said, run them off. Don't keep them around. Don't profit off of them. Run them off. So you go over to the book of Judges, and they end up taking Jerusalem. I think Judges chapter 3 or 4, one of the judges ends up going in there, and they're taking it, but they don't run everybody out. So once again, the Jebusites hang on to Jerusalem. Jerusalem sits 777 feet above sea level, and it's up on a hill. It's well fortified. I mean, it's the perfect place to set up capital, and it's a place to where it was the last city that David had to conquer. David had to get a hold of. Now, I read to you here where the Bible says that these people, the Jebusites, hollered down to David and said, look, the blind and lame, we can defend this city. In other words, they're saying, David, this city is so strong that blind people and lame people can protect our city. And they're taunting David. History says they even had like mannequins that they would set up and play with to taunt David and taunt David's army. David said here, listen, here's what we're going to do. We're going to go up by the gutters. They had water aqueducts. And so what David did, and the men done that was with David, they went up through into the city through the aqueducts, through the gutters, to get in there to conquer the city. But the lesson that we want to see from this scripture in verse 7 is David took the stronghold of Zion. The last place that was held on to in the land was called a stronghold. It was a place that they had a hard time taking. It was a place that the devil held out the longest time to hold on to. Because why? Because Christ was going to walk through the streets of Jerusalem. The church was going to be started through Jerusalem. Look at all the things that are going to happen. Jesus is going to sit on David's throne in Jerusalem. And look at the city of Jerusalem, how important it is to God's people, the spiritual significance in it. So the devil held on to that area through the Jebusites as long as he could. So much so that he said, look, y'all can't even take this. Don't even try to taunt to get them to take away. Now, people sit in churches and people sit in our land today, and there are strongholds that develop in people's lives. Yeah. And when we mention strongholds, the first thing you think of is drugs. It's definitely a stronghold that gets in people's lives. It's got tentacles. It just wraps around. But there's other issues that the devil gets strongholds in people's lives. And one of the greatest military generals that we ever had as a country was George Patton. And George Patton in World War II went, Brother Glenn, and fought against the Germans, and they had a general there they called him the Desert Fox, Rommel. And Rommel didn't lose a battle. I mean, he was smart. He had good tactics, good strategies. But George Patton tricked him into going into a trap and end up defeating the Germans. And we advanced. And anyway, that's the way we won World War II. But when George Patton spoke to Rommel, Rommel said, how in the world did you figure this out? How in the world did you set a trap? And here's what Patton said to him. Patton said, Rommel, I studied you and I read your book. I read your book. I studied you. I know all about you. I got so in to know your tactics that I know how to do what I need to do to set a trap for you. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. Now, people in Eastern Kentucky, they get saved by God's grace, and it's like, you know, they've got all these issues in their life. They got family problems, financial problems. They got drugs, struggle with drug problems. They got mental health issues. They got emotional problems. They've got all these things, okay, that the devil through all their life has got a hold of their heart, got a hold of their mind, and developed strongholds in there. God saves them, and the next thing you know, we just turn them loose and we'll just pray about it. Well, they don't even know how to pray. They don't even know how to talk to God. They don't know anything about the Word of God. And the devil, man, just has a field day on people's lives. As saved by God's grace, but as far as the soldier, they're just out here useless for the kingdom of God. And they never have joy. They never have victory. They're all the time up and down in their life, and they're all the time struggling because the devil has got a stronghold in their life, a stronghold in their family. And we see that so many times. Am I making sense to anybody? Because the devil knows if they get victory, if they get this took care of in their life, then God can really use them in a mighty, mighty way. And so here it is in our lives, and here it is in this chapter right here. David knew, I got to take this city. I'm going to set up myself in this city. I'm going to rule and reign from this city. Now, the Bible says in Ephesians 6, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. My problem's not you and your problem's not me, but against what? Principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places.
Yep.
The devil has the devil is very, very cunning. He's very organized. He's very strategic. He's like the general. He's got captains under him, sergeants under him, lieutenants under him, privates under him. He's well, well organized. And he goes about in families, and he goes about in your life, and he goes about, he's got a well-organized system set up to reap havoc and to cause issues and problems in our life. So our battle, folks, is not with the guy up the road that's hateful to us or somebody in the church that offends us or somebody in our life or somebody in our family. It's the spirit, folks, behind that. That is where the problem is. And so our battle is against what? The world, the flesh, and then what is the world? James 4 says, you adulterers and adulterers, know ye not the friendship of the world is enmity with God. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is an enemy. What is the world? What's that mean? Does that mean the grass, the trees? The world, listen, the world is the world's philosophy. The world's system. And the devil wants us to accept all this stuff of the world all the time, to question God's word, to be ashamed of Jesus Christ, to be ashamed of this Bible, to regard and trust in God is foolishness, to get caught up. And so from day one in our lives, the school systems are set up, the internet's set up, everything is set up to attack us, to get us to accept the world's philosophy of doing things. Come in here and do your little churchy thing. The devil ain't scared about that. But as long as I can keep that stronghold in your life to follow after the world, listen, you'll be useless. You'll not have any victory. You'll not do anything for the kingdom of God. Amen? So what I want to look at this morning is how the devil gets strongholds in our lives. How does he get the stronghold in our life? That's what we're going to look at. He uses the world, which is the philosophy of this world. What's the philosophy of this world right now? You can see it influencing churches right now, and it has been for years. Listen, what we're doing this morning is not this philosophy of this world. Listen, most churches now are going to the turn the lights off, let's get a rock show, let's have about 10, 15 minutes of just somewhat of a kind of preaching. Let's entertain the flesh. That's the world system right now. Not instruction in the God's word, not anything doctrine, not anything, listen, that's going to help us in our life. When we get saved, our eyes get opened up to a whole different world that you never knew existed in there. And Randall, you begin to learn about yourself things that you never knew about yourself. You begin to learn things about God. You begin to experience things with God that you never experienced before. And you begin to experience things with the devil that you never thought was even there. The impossible was there. Listen, somebody said, I've been saved and the devil don't bother me that much. Well, then I don't know if you're saved or I don't think you are. Because he comes at us constantly, don't he? And we're going to look at the devil too. That's why we're not going to get through this today. We're going to look at the devil too. Who is the devil? What does he do? What his aim is? To develop his strongholds. Right here in 2 Samuel chapter 5, this stronghold was here and David said, we're going to go get it. And we, as a people of God, need to say, what's this stronghold in my life? Some of these people, listen, some of it, you look at your family, there, some families have just horrible drug issues, alcohol issues, addiction issues, but the family over here may not have alcohol and drug addiction issues. They may just be, everybody in there just gets married, divorced, immorality, all these things. This might be in this family. But you could look at the issues that set up. The devil knows all this stuff, folks. And he uses it against you. So we got the world is against us. You got your flesh that is against you. What's the flesh? When somebody says you are living in the flesh, what does that mean? Paul said in Romans 7:18, for I know that in me, now this is the greatest Christian that ever lived. I'm glad he wrote this in Romans 7 under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. I'm glad, Ricky, he said, Paul said, I know that in me, he says, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. He said, for to will is present with me. He said, I want to do this.
Yeah.
But out of the form, that which is good, I find not. I want to do right. I want to do good. But I got this flesh, and it's constantly against me. That's what Paul says. Well, what is the flesh? The Bible says in Galatians 5:19, now the works of the flesh are manifest. That means they're made known. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, what is those? That's sexual sins. Idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulation, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, Paul said, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, what do you mean? What's that mean, to do such things? That means to live in such things. Shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If that's the consistent pattern of lifestyle, then that person, they're living in the flesh. They're not living to God. Evil thoughts is the flesh. Jealousy is the flesh. Rage is the flesh. Discord, dissension is of the flesh. Impurity, deceitfulness, lewdness, self-ambition, this is the flesh. We all battle. Arrogance is the flesh. Slander, lying, folly, foolishness is of the flesh. All these things is flesh.
Yep.
So we got the world's philosophy battling at us. You see how the devil gets these strongholds in our life? Then you got our own flesh, and we're born with this flesh. It's never eradicated. We carry it around. It's a constant battle. We're born a sinner. We're born speaking lies from a mother's womb. We have a flesh, sinful nature. Then you got the devil. Then you got the devil. What is the devil? The devil is an adversary. That's what Satan means, adversary. Do you know when you trace that word adversary back to Satan, you know where it comes from? An adversarial would do this right here for an army. They would go out first in front of an army, and they would meet the opposing army. And what the adversary would do in an army was he would shout at the coming army and say, listen, you're wasting your time. We're so big and large back here. Don't you hear them beating on their shields? And what the adversary would do, he would go ahead of the army, and he would taunt and intimidate and mouth the other side. Boy, that's a good name for the devil, ain't it?
Yeah, yeah.
And so what does David run across here? The Jebusites get up on the roof and they say, look here, well, the blind and the lame can protect this.
Yeah.
Don't even waste your time. Just leave us alone. That's what the devil does. But Jesus said, greater is what? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. So why do we live so coward back, afraid of the devil all the time? Well, I just got this in my life. I just can't. I'm just so defeated. I can't. Listen, God said, greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world.
Amen.
Who's in me? Jesus Christ is in me. The Holy Ghost is in me. The same power that was in the apostles is in me. The same power. Now, not the apostolic powers. I'm not going to have healing crusades, and you ain't either. But the power to live right, the power to have victory in this Christian walk is in you if you're saved.
Amen.
It is. It's in you. And so the devil just stands back and taunts us and taunts us and taunts us and taunts us. The devil is a fallen angel. He's got power, but he don't have all power.
No.
He's not omnipotent. He can't be everywhere all the time. That's why he's got such things set up. Listen, why he's got a rank and he's got all, the Bible tells us that in Ephesians. He can't be everywhere all the time.
No.
And he don't know everything.
No.
He don't know everything. So why do we live like we're so coward back of the devil, when greater is he that is in me than he that's in the world? And the devil works three ways in people's lives. He works through oppression, he works through obsession, and he works through possession. Now, if you're saved by God's grace, you can't be possessed by the devil.
No.
You've got the Holy Spirit. But I'm going to tell you what the devil does to God's people. He oppresses.
Yeah.
He puts outside pressure, Ricky, upon you, pushes down on you. That's what oppression means. Job 2:7 says, so went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his feet unto his crown. Acts 10:38 says how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were what? Oppressed. That's what the Bible says, of the devil. For God was with him. The Bible gives us three times in the Old Testament where the devil himself went to mankind. One was Eve, And what did he want Eve to do? He wanted Eve to act independent of God, what God says. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to act independent of what God says. I'm going to act independent of everything. That's what he done. He went and enticed her to act independent. I'll live my life how I want to live it. I'll live my life outside of God's Word. He went to her and he got her enticed to do that, didn't he? Who else did he go to in the Old Testament? He went to God and said, I want to go at Job. And I'm so glad God puts that in there about Job, because the devil went at him, and look what the havoc the devil wreaked on this man's life, who was a godly man, who loved God. And God shows us, if I turn the devil loose on you, he can come after your flesh, he can come after your finances, he can come after everything about you. If I turn the devil loose, if I take my hedge down, aren't you glad this morning God's got hedges up about us? I mean, Tabitha was telling us something this morning about her husband who's lost. His car was messed up. And God blessed somebody down there where he's working at to work on the guy's car. You know why God done that? Because God's merciful and sees Tabitha's faithfulness. Amen. So he blesses her husband who's lost down there. Amen. trying to get him right.
Amen.
But listen to me. You don't want the devil turn loose on you. And I don't either. But he had to get permission from God. So the devil come at Eve. Said, go outside of God's will. Go out, do whatever, and act independent of God. And so God came to Adam and Eve and said, why'd you hide? They said, we're naked. God said, I knew you was naked, but who told you was naked? Who? I didn't know that. But who? You didn't know that, so who told you that? So, listen, they acted independent of God. Then the devil came at who? David.
Yeah.
Why? Why did he come at David? To number the people. Why? Because by numbering the people, he'd go against God, and a lot of people's going to die. Who did the devil come at in the Old Testament? He come at Christ. But outside of Christ, who did he come at? Two times he possessed Judas Iscariot. He came into Judas Iscariot two times. He didn't come into nobody else in the Bible. Why? He's too prideful to come into anybody else. Plus, he risked a chance. If he runs into somebody and Christ cast him into hell, he don't want to take that chance. So only two people. He ran into Judas twice. But the devil comes to oppress us as God's people, to put outside pressure upon us. Yeah. You ever feel that sometimes?
Yeah.
Just the satanic oppression,
yeah.
Push down. It's like a basketball. You push down on it and it gets depressed. That's what he wants to do. He wants to discourage us. He wants to put pressure on us, and he puts all this outside pressure and he goes about to oppress us. He wants to weaken our will down. Paul said, that I would do, I do not. He wants to weaken our will by oppressing us. He wants us to get our emotions all boiling over, because the weakest part of us is our emotions. That's the weakest part we got. And the devil knows that. He plays. He goes and plays with that. He wants to try to menace our mind all the time. Throw things at our mind. The fiery darts of the devil to oppress us and to put us. Then you got obsession. There's some people, listen, they go from oppression to obsession. Look what the Bible says here in Ephesians 2 in chapter 4, 26. Be angry, because things are going to happen and we're going to get mad. And sin not. He said, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Then he says, neither give place or a seat to the devil. Why? Why does he say not let the sun go down upon your wrath? Because you lay there and you stew on it and you obsess about it and you get consumed with thoughts that don't need to be there. And then what happens is you get phobias, excessive fears in your life and compulsive actions. And that's what the devil does. That's how this is the tactics that the devil uses. So if this happens to you, this the devil coming at you. This is the flesh rising up, the world rising up. This is how the devil is going to get a stronghold in your life. He does these things. And I'm going to show you a perfect example from what we've been studying here in the book of Samuel, how the devil got in and got a stronghold in Saul's life, and it ended in a bad way for Saul. And I have seen him do the same thing with people, and he tries to do the same thing with me, and he tries to do the same thing with you, because this is how the devil operates, and we're not to be ignorant of his device. We are to know these things, where they come from. What does the devil want to do to this church? He wants to bust up the unity. Yeah. Well, I've got to say, as a member of the church and the pastor, I've got to say, I'm not going to let that happen. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm not going to let nothing get me out of unity with Garrett Mullins, my daddy, Tiffany Randall, all you all sitting here, Tyler. I'm going to say, I'm not going to let that happen.
Amen.
I'm going to say, greater is he that's in me than he is in the world. I'm not going to let that happen. How do you be married to Chester and Loretta 49 years? they've decided, as Christians, we're not going to let it happen. We're not going to let the devil get in here and bust up the unity of our home. And she's made a decision somewhere in her spiritual life. He's made a decision somewhere in his spiritual life. And says, we're not going to let the devil do this. No matter what comes at us, we're going to stay together, and we're going to serve the Lord, and we're going to endeavor to keep the unity here. That's how the Lord works. That's how greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world. And the devil hates that stuff. He hates a church unified. He hates somebody that puts in 50 years, 49 years, the pennies, they've stayed together as a couple, they're in church. He hates that.
Yeah.
He wants to bust that up. He wants to build up strongholds in your life and destroy your life. That's what He wants to do.
Yeah.
He came to what? Kill, to steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I've come that you might have what? Life.
Amen.
And have it more abundantly.
Amen.
And to have victory out here. He hates it. Ricky Mullins and Sunshine sit here with their children and their grand. He hates it. Tiffany and Randall. He hates it. Randall put his pennies in here, and he hates that, and he wants to bust that up and tear that down. He hates that.
Amen.
And so he wants to take what he can and develop a stronghold in your life to get you out here to mess your life up. And that's what he does. And he's very good at it too.
Yeah.
But we're not to be ignorant of his devices. So if he can't get us oppressed and he can't get obsessed, he gets people out here and he possesses them. He possesses people. I think Cameron last Sunday after church ran into a fellow possessed by the devil down here at the Asian Cafe. Came up to him growling, chanting over him. The boy didn't do nothing. But you know what Cameron done? He said something within him rose up, and he stood up there and stood bold for Jesus Christ. And nothing happened to him. There's people, listen to me, we see it more and more. Preachers of old time, they had a hard time understanding this because they didn't see this kind of stuff. Listen, I've seen people, and it gives me the willies. I mean, it's a bad, it's mental torment. I mean, mental torment on somebody. I'm talking about somebody that's possessed by the devil. It's just, they're tormented. You want to see where people's possessed, going to the jails and places and prisons, and that's where it's thick in there, and it just smothers you out. And because of the torment that's in there. Convulsions, I've seen voice changes. Catatonic states where they're just numbed out. Psychic powers. You call these psychic hotlines? Yeah, they know. Devil gives them a measure of knowledge. The same spirit here is the same spirit in California or India or anywhere else. They got some power there. Listen to me. Supernatural strength. I have seen people break Smith & Wesson handcuffs. Spring steel. Smith & Wesson with hand. You can't do that. That's impossible to do. Those things, I've seen them break them asunder. Supernatural strength, don't feel no pain at all. I've seen that. Violent nightmares and dreams on somebody, an unnatural attachment to things of the occult. You ever seen anybody that's just got this unnatural attachment to witchcraft and all this stuff? Man, our society, our kids are flooded with this. Our adult people are flooded with this. Speaking in an unknown language. I mean, babbling on about things. They'll babble on and stuff in an unknown language. That stuff gives me the willies, folks. I mean, it's wicked. I've seen them do it. I've seen Haitian witch doctors in prison do these things. Scares you, slap to death. Unrestrained outburst, uncontrollable anger, twitching, uncontrollable violent reaction at the name of Jesus Christ and the things of God whatsoever. These people are amongst us right now, possessed of the devil. All around us, and the devil's got in there in their lives. Listen to me. And you know what he's eventually going to do? He's going to be like that fella. If he couldn't get him to throw himself in the water and kill himself, he'd throw himself in the fire and kill himself. Dad took him down to the disciples. They couldn't do a thing with him. Jesus said, this kind can only come out by prayer and fasting. Hey, if somebody goes that far to where they're demonically just possessed with something, I'm telling you, it's going to have to take a supernatural move of God to break that in that person's life. The devil just can't walk around here and just possess somebody. Do you know that? He just can't walk around and say, I think I'm going to possess him. No, he entices people. They end up playing with things that they seem as innocent. Oh, well, that's just astrology, or that's just this little book, or that's just this little movie. And they end up opening up their spirit, and they end up opening up their mind, this music, and they end up opening up their self, and these things come in. He got that one singer to sing that Take My Horse down the Road, whatever. We had the little boys coming in here for Vacation Bible School a few years. That little boy would sing that little song, and now he's out here with this satanic stuff. I mean, the devil is so, he takes Miley Cyrus, Hannah Montana, and the next thing you know, he knows what he's doing, folks.
Yeah, he sure does.
And he gets in the mind and the hearts that way. And he gets people, Tyler preached this not too long, these people live in these fantasy worlds. Fantasies. That's what the internet is, fantasy world. Facebook, fantasy world. These fantasies, and they get people dwelling on these things. That's not reality. And that's how it gets in. It gets strongholds in people's lives, right? And so Paul said this, I beseech you, brethren, this is what he says, 2 Corinthians 10:3-4, that I may not be bold when I'm present with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we've walked according to the flesh. Paul writing to the Corinthian church, he said, I don't really want to talk to y'all this way, but you don't really understand any other way. He said, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war after the flesh. He said, for what? For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. You don't battle strongholds in your life. You don't battle these things in your mind through fleshly, carnal means. But what? Mighty through God to the what? Pulling down of strongholds. I love to see somebody get saved, fully sold out to God, and God just tear down them strongholds in their life. Somebody was once on drugs and alcohol. Somebody was once just sold out to the devil, their flesh, man, get saved, Brother Gary.
Yeah.
God just takes those things down in their lives, and they just get such victory. Here's what he says, casting down imaginations, because that's where it starts at, right here, between our two ears.
Yeah.
And every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. How many times is Paul likened us to soldiers? How many times has the Bible said a soldier is somebody that's dedicated,
yeah,
somebody that's disciplined? Listen to me. We got to be a disciplined Christian. You got to feed your mind. And whatever you do, I listen to preaching. I listen to the Bible all the time. I listen to all those things. That helps me. It's for you. It might be some kind of Christian singing. That's fine. Whatever it is, you've got to be disciplined in your Christian walk. And I wish people would really get a hold of it. They're going to come to church today. They ain't not listening to this. It'd really help them in their life. They wouldn't walk around so defeated.
Amen.
And so, listen, because they got strongholds in their life. And we live in a society, we want a pill to fix everything, and it don't. Listen to me. You want to come to us, you want to come to Brother Garrett or Brother Tyler or myself, say, I got this problem right here. You want us to talk to you 5 minutes, pray with you, and it'd be okay when you walk out the door. You've got to put discipline. You've got to dedicate yourself. Amen.
Amen.
I can't do this for you. You can't do this for somebody else. God shows us what our issues are and these strongholds, but you got to get it in your own life and walk with the Lord. There's such a great victory, folks. There's such victory in that, strength in that. When you walk with the Lord, you don't walk around with all these defeated attitudes, and you can have victory in this. But the battle that we have in our military is what? By land, got the Army, the Marine Corps, and by land, by sea, you got the Navy, we got to protect our waterfronts, you got the air, we got the Air Force, so we got to, in the Christian walk, folks, it's the same way. We've got a battle that we're going to have to face. And we gotta look at, is this worldly thinking? Is this fleshly thinking? Is this a satanic influence? Captivate every thought. Listen to me. If I get a thought that says, Tyler Bentley is against me, he don't like me, he's talking about me, that's not of God.
No, that's not.
That's not of God.
No.
If I've got a thought that says, well, I think that sister right there is up to something, that's not of God. That is not of God.
Amen.
The devil is the accuser of the brethren.
Hey, sure.
The Holy Ghost will burden you to pray for people. The Holy Ghost will burden you to encourage people, to exhort people. The Holy Ghost is never going to accuse Ricky. The Holy Ghost is never going to say to put an accusatory thought in Ricky's mind against his wife or his children. The Holy Ghost is going to get Ricky to get a burden for his wife and his children.
Amen.
And his church.
Amen.
And listen to me, and a concern for them. That is not. And so if we know that, why do we let the devil do that to us? If we know that, because listen, we fall prey to the devil. The devil works, and the devil's never going. The Holy Spirit is never going to accuse a brother or sister. The Holy Ghost don't work that way. That's the devil that's the accuser of the brother. Now, if a prepared military goes in the air and the sea, and the land, then we ought to be a well trained soldier, and not let these strongholds get developed in our life. And recognize that our danger comes from the world of flesh. And the Bible says in Proverbs 27:12, a prudent man foreseeth the evil. And what does he do? And hideth himself but the simple pass on and are punished. I'm going to read that again. A prudent man, he foreseeth evil. In other words, a prudent man looks at the situation and says, I better not get involved in that, and hideth himself. Let me give you an illustration. Let's say Brother Garrett loves to go deer hunting. I don't, but let's say he's got some friends he works with. They're not saved. They love Brother Garrett. They're his buddies, but they like to drink, and they like to tell dirty jokes and all this stuff. Garrett works with them. He might like them, but they say, Brother Garrett, why don't you go spend the weekend with us? We're going to go deer hunting. It's a great place. But Brother Garrett, being God's man and full of the Holy Ghost, says some thanks about that, and he says, I foreseeth evil may come out of this. I'm not better than them, but if I go with them, that's three against one. They're going to be drinking, tell things. That's going to be in my mind, in my heart. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth. So I think I'll stay home. Hideth himself. Now, the Bible says a simple pass on. The simple says, yeah, sounds like a good plan. He goes on, and what happens to him? He's punished. Because he gets involved in something he shouldn't be involved in. He hurts his testimony, hurts his witness, and he gets punished. The prudent man says, I think I better stay out of this one, because I see that I might get messed up in my life in this. I don't need to be there, and I don't need to be with them, and I need to stay away from them. Am I making sense to anybody?
Amen.
Showing you how God gets, how the devil gets a stronghold in your life, in your mind. Some things I don't get involved with. I don't do. Because, listen, I foresee that I can get me wrapped up.
Yeah.
They want me to help coach ball. I don't help coach ball because I foresee that something I can come out of that. You cannot work with kids in the public and not offend somebody and hurt your ministry in some way. I just stay out of it.
Yeah.
I just encourage them all, love them all, and go about my business. The prudent man foreseeth these things, and he hides himself from that. You have to do that in your life, dear people. How many times do we see people in the church get messed up because they get messed up with people and things they shouldn't do, and they get messed up. So, how does the devil, I'll be back on this next week. He takes somebody like Saul. Here's how the devil gets a stronghold in your life. Right here it is. God chose Saul to be king, right? Saul begins his reign as an humble ruler, and he delivers Israel from the Ammonites. When David becomes a successful warrior against the Philistine, Saul promotes him to a high-ranking office. But what happens? David's popularity with the people sends arrows of jealousy.
Yep, jealousy.
Into Saul's mind. Jealousy and envy. What is jealousy and envy? That's thoughts.
Destroying.
So the devil starts shooting thoughts of jealousy. It starts right there with your thoughts.
That's right.
Thoughts into Saul's heart. Eventually leading David to, leading Saul to attempt to kill David. So there's a choice. So it got in his mind. It got in his head. A thought got there, didn't it? And then it stayed there, and then it became a choice. I think I'm going to do something about this. It's in my head. That ain't right. This is how the devil works right here, people.
Amen.
When that fails, he keeps on trying, don't he?
Yep.
So he gets habits started. So it started with a thought, started with a choice. It turned into a habit, and it ended up plaguing him and developing a stronghold in his life that he could not take care of. Could he? And the Bible says in 1 Chronicles 10:13, so Saul died for his transgression, which he committed against the Lord, even against the word of the Lord, which he kept not, and also for asking counsel of one that had a familiar spirit to inquire of it, and inquired not of the Lord. Therefore he slew him and turned the kingdom unto David, the son of Jesse. How does a person get involved with drugs and alcohol? How does that little baby back there, how does the devil get a hold of these little children, these people? He starts with a thought. He starts with a thought that says, you know what? You ain't getting this, and this happened to you, and it's bad. And here's a thought, and that thought leads to, here, take this drug, and it gives a choice. And it makes you feel a measure better. It does. Makes you feel a little bit better. Man, I like this. This is pretty good. So that choice turns into habits. And that habit just takes over and over in your life. And then it develops into a stronghold in your life. And you can say, man, how did I get this way in my life? That's the way the devil gets things in people's lives. That's the way he does it. That's his trick right there. That's why the Bible says, take every thought captive against him. Because there's people that's going to sit in this church today, saved by God's grace, love the Lord with all their heart on their way to heaven, but somewhere, man, they've never had a measure of victory, none in their life. It's hard for them to walk with the least. It's a struggle, it's a battle, because the devil's got a stronghold in their life. And every time they go to pray, because there's strongholds there, the devil just laughs and taunts at them. And every time they go to try to do something, nobody's got any kind of, they've got no kind of respect, no kind of witness, because the devil just taunts at you the whole time. He just laughs at you the whole time, because that stronghold is there. And he sits right there. And there's no measure of victory for you. And listen to me, God wants us to have the victory, folks. Greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world out there. And this old cliche and these, man, well, let's just pray about it. Let's just try to do better. Folks, that don't work. We got to know what God's Word says.
Amen.
And put it to use. Amen.
Amen.
And we'll have victory in this walk of life. Let's stand this morning, if you will. I love you. We're not going to stop with this. I'm going to show you.